Shalom uvracha to all. Welcome back to Nachyomi Torah Imechot Oyomans Initiative. My name is Micha Horowitz. Today we'll continue our study of Sefer Shoftim, Perek Yud Bet. So it's a relatively short perek, compared to some of the other Prakim and Shoftim at least. There are only 15 psukim. However, it is a very dramatic, violent and sad perek of civil war and strife between members of Am Yisrael. We begin in Perek Yud Bet. Remember, it is after Yiftach, his disaster with his daughter, but he has led the people to victory over Ammon. Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Aleph, Vayitzeik ish Ephraim vayavur Sofona, vayomru li Yiftach, madua avartu lechem bivnei Ammon, vilanu lo karasa, lalecha simach, beischa nisraf alecha ba'ish. And the men of the tribe of Ephraim came together and they called out and they went up to the north. Rashi says, what does it mean, Vayavar Tzfona, they crossed to the north? So Rashi says, Vayavar es Hayardin, the men of Ephraim crossed the Jordan, Vahochu litzafon, Eber Hayardin. They went to the north on the other side of the Yarden River, El Hagilad. So they went north, crossing Eber Hayardin to the northern region of Gilad. And they say to Yiftach, why did you cross over to fight with the Bnei Ammon, the nation of Ammon? You did not call out to us to go with you to war. And what are we going to do as a punishment? We will burn your house with fire upon you. Vayomer Yiftach aleihem, and Yiftach says to them, Ish riv hayisi, ani ve'ami u'bnei Ammon ma'od. Yiftach says, I was a man of strife, Ish riv hayisi, I and my people against the children of Ammon, ve'azak eschem ve'lo hoshatem osim yadam. And he says, you know, we were in a dispute with Ammon for a very long time. And in the past, I called upon you, but you did not come to our salvation. In other words, why would I call you now if you didn't come help me against Ammon in the past? He says to the Bnei Ephraim, Pasuk Gimel, the era ki en chamoshia, I saw that you were not coming to save me. V'asima nafshi b'kapi, so I put my soul in my own hand. Why would I rely on someone in the past who did not help me? The abra al Bnei Ammon, so I crossed over and I followed the Bnei Ammon. V'yitne m'sham b'yadi, Hashem put them in my hand. V'lam alisim elai. Why did you come up to fight with me today? I won over Ammon. This has nothing to do with you. We've now through Pasuk Gimel. Why are you here? I want to quote from the art scroll, the VM, that elucidates these three psukim further for us and gives us some important background and important information. The lowered spiritual state of the nation is graphically illustrated in this parak by the tragic civil war that is precipitated by Ephraim's resentment, and I'm going to add jealousy against Yiftach. He had relied, meaning Yiftach, only on his own kinsmen to defeat Ammon. Now the tribe of Ephraim came en masse to protest. He had insulted them by not summoning them to battle. Although Ephraim was a brother tribe of Yiftach's tribe of Menasseh, Ephraim felt superior, going all the way back to when Yaakov Avinu had given Ephraim precedence over Menasseh and his blessings. The Ephraims felt that by ignoring them, Yiftach had overturned their primacy that was legitimately theirs. The tribe of Ephraim lodged a similar claim against Gidon, if you remember, we spoke about it, when he conquered Midian without inviting Ephraim to join the battle. However, this is the article of Levim, but we pointed out the same thing. With great modesty and tact, Gidon appeased them, but Yiftach was a different sort of leader. And the fact that he did not back down and did not appease them, but he went head to head with them, ultimately led to a terribly bloody tragedy. Furthermore, according to the Kli Yakar, the vow that resulted in his daughter's tragic misfortune was another factor in Ephraim's anger towards Yiftach, because it caused the Ephraimites to lose respect for Yiftach. Here we go. Oh, furthermore, I want to tell you one more thing from the Art School Nevi'im. Yiftach refutes the charge of the Bnei Ephraim on three grounds. Summing up, what are they? One, the Ammonites' predictions had been against his own Giladai family. So in other words, what do you have to do with this? This was between me and the Bnei Ammon. Furthermore, number two, second claim of Yiftach, counterclaim I should say, during the 18 years of Ammonite persecution, the Ephraimites had ignored his plea for help. So why would he come to them now? And three, seeing that he was on his own, Yiftach risked his life and relied on God's help, and God saved him. Now we go back to the Psukim. That's Psukim Aleph through Gimel. So Ephraim comes with a claim, and Yiftach refutes the claim. Now we are up to Pasuk Gimel. Vayikbutz Yiftach es kol anshe Gilad, and Yiftach gathers, he amasses to war all the residents, all the men in the region of Gilad. Vayilachem es Ephraim. And he made war with Ephraim. Vayaku anshe Gilad es Ephraim. And the men of Gilad struck against Ephraim. Remember, this is a civil war. Ki amru pilte Ephraim. Because even the pilte Ephraim said, what are pilte Ephraim? I'm going to Rashi. Ki amru pilte Ephraim. Pechusim sheba Ephraim. Hayu mavizim es Gilad. The lowest class of Ephraimites used to mock the Bnei Gilad. The Omrim, and the lowest class of Ephraim, used to say to the Bnei Gilad, the Omrim, and they would say to them, Ma atem Gilad chashuvim besoch Ephraim besoch Menashe? And Rashi says, Kein Targum Yonasan. Rashi is quoting from Targum Yonasan. What would the Bnei Ephraim say? And it was the lowest class of the Bnei Ephraim, the lowest ones of Ephraim. They would mock the Bnei Gilad. And they would say, what's with you, Bnei Gilad? You think you're so important? You're dwelling in the territory of Ephraim. You're dwelling against Menashe. Who do you think you are? They would insult the Pilte Ephraim, the lowest of Ephraim, would insult the Bnei Gilad. And they would say, Atem Gilad, Besoch Ephraim, Besoch Menashe. Excuse me. Pasuk Hey. So we see furthermore that the Bnei Ephraim would also mock and scorn the Bnei Gilad. And so Yiftach amasses his forces and they go to battle. Pasuk Hey. Vayilkod Gilad es ma'abros hayardin la'Ephraim. And look what happens. Ephraim is not going to be victorious here. Okay, Ephraim, it was not a good idea to come battle against Gilad and his men. Gilad occupied the crossings of the Yarden against Ephraim. We are in Pasuk Hey. No, we're in Pasuk Vav. Just joking. No, we're in Pasuk Hey. Just joking. Vayilkod Gilad es ma'abros hayardin la'Ephraim. And Gilad captured the crossings of the Yarden before Ephraim. Vahaya ki yomru pilte Ephraim e'evra. And it was, what happened was, the lowest of Ephraim would say, we want to cross the Yarden. Vayomru lo anche Gilad ha'efrasiata. And there was a checkpoint at the river. And when the Bnei Ephraim wanted to cross, they would say, let us cross. And the men of Gilad would say, are you from Ephraim? It was a test. Vayomer lo. So he would say, no, he's not from Ephraim. Steinzelt's Ketuvim Trans explains this pasuk as follows. Gilad captured the fords of the Jordan from Ephraim, so they could not return to their own territory. When one of the refugees of Ephraim sought to cross the Yarden, he would say, let me cross. The men of Gilad would say, are you an Ephraimite from Ephraim? And he would say, no. Points out Steinzelt's Nevi'im, this was a natural response because the Ephraimite, a man from Ephraim, knew that his life would be in danger if he revealed his true identity. The Bnei Gilad did not believe that they were not from Ephraim, so they came up with a test. What was the test? Pasuk Vav, Vayomru lo, so the security checkpoint at the river, the Yarden would say to the man from Ephraim, who said, I'm not from Ephraim, Emona Shibolas. I'm going to explain in a minute. So the security checkpoint of Gilad would say to the Bnei Ephraim, you say you're not from Ephraim? Say the word Shibolas. Vayomer Sibolas. The test was if you could say the word Shibolas with a shin or a Shibolet. And the response of the Bnei Ephraim would be Sibolet with a samech. Velo yachin edaber kein. Vayachazu aso. Vayishchatu. Al ma'abros hayardin. And when he could not, the Bnei Ephraim pronounced the word Shibolas with a shin properly, and he said Sibolas with a samach. All of a sudden, it was apparent that he could not say the word properly. So Bnei Gilad would capture him, and they slaughtered him over the ford of the Yarden. Vayipo be'esahi me'Ephraim arba'im ushnayim alef. At that time, 42,000 men fell from Ephraim. What kind of test was this? So interesting. They said Shibolas. And if the person says Shibolas, they know they're from Ephraim and then they kill them. So what is a Shibolas or Shibolet? Mitzudas Tzion. Kein yikra merutzot hamayim. Oh, this is what you call the current, the running water. Kemo v'shibolet shitof sini.
Metsudas Tzion quotes a pasuk from Tehillim, Samech Tes. The current has swept me away. So Metsudas Tzion says, what is a shibolas? Ken yukra meruutos hamayim, the running water, i.e. the current is called a shibolas. And for whatever reason, the Bnei Ephraim cannot say shibolas, and they would call the current sibolas. Now I'm quoting Metsudas David on the pasuk. What does it mean that the Bnei Gilad would give this test and they would say, say the word? Metsudas David wrote Salamar as hayum avchinim ladas imhu afrasi olo va'armelo amar ever shibolas hamayim. Remember, they're by the Yarden. The Bnei Ephraim want to cross the Yarden to get back home, i.e. they want to cross the current, the running water. So Metsudas David explains, this means to say that this is how they tested Bechina. As hayu mavchinim ladas. This was a Bechina, it was a test for them to know, the Bnei Gilad, if he was an Ephrasi or not. The Amrulo, so they would say, you want to cross the Yarden? Okay, all you have to say is, Avor shibola samayim. I want to cross the current. But when the Bnei Ephraim said, Avor shibola samayim, the Bnei Gilad knew that they were not from the Bnei Gilad, and they knew they were from Ephraim. Vayomer Sibolas, with a samach, continues Metsudas David, the Kasher Mar Sibolas, but when the Bnei Ephraim said Sibolas with a samach instead of a shin, Kedarecha Ephrasim, that was how the Ephrasim pronounced it. Sha'am b'makom ha-shin samach. Ah, says the Metsudas David, that's how they said the word current. Instead of a shin, they put a samach. This was a giveaway, though. A dead giveaway, pun is intended, to the Bnei Gilad. They said, aha, you can't pronounce it properly. And they would slay the Bnei Ephraim. And the pasuk has just told us that at that time, 42,000 men fell from Ephraim. This was a civil war, brother against brother. Why? Because Ephraim was insulted. Ephraim felt better than the other tribes. Ephraim comes and questions the judgment of Yiftach. But Yiftach himself was not willing to negotiate or to give it. We're not talking about the enemy. We're not talking about making a treaty with another nation, a mechamas mitzvah, balaharga, chahashkem, the harga. We're talking about their own brothers. What a tragic perek. Vayishpo Yiftach es Yisrael sheishanim, vayamas Yiftach ha-giladi, vayikaber ba'arei gilad. We come to the end of the life of Yiftach, Pasuk Zayin, and Yiftach judged Israel sheish shanim, for 6 years, Vayamas Yiftach HaGiladi, and Yiftach from Gilad died, Vayikaver Ba'are Gilad. That's interesting. He was buried in the cities of Gilad? Plural? What do you mean he was buried in the cities of Gilad? So very, very unusual. Radak says, ready, Ba'are HaGilad, Derech HaDrash B'zeh, Shehuchach B'shchin, Shehuka, I'm sorry, Derech HaDrash B'zeh, Shehuka B'shchin, Kfar, Kaved, who? Derech HaDrash B'zeh, Shehuka B'shechin Kaved, V'hayin Nofel Evarim Me'ir Le'ir. Miftach, at the end of his life, says the Radak, was struck with a very unfortunate illness. He was struck with some sort of shechin, which we usually translate as boils, a heavy shechin, and his limbs would fall off as he traveled from city to city. U'b'chol ir shehayin Nofel Evaro hayin Nikbar Sham. Wherever he traveled and wherever his limbs fell off, that's where his limbs were buried. Why did this happen to him? The Radak says, V'zeh ha'yalo onesh, shaharag bito v'lo nishal al nidro. The Radak says that this was a punishment. Because remember, he said, whoever crosses the threshold, I will slaughter to God. It was his daughter. The Radak says this was a punishment, this gruesome way that he died, and his limbs fell off as he journeyed from city to city, and they were buried from city to city, because it was a punishment for killing his daughter, even though we saw there's difference of opinion, but according to the Radak, clearly he killed his daughter. And he did not go to ask the judges if he could nullify his vow. He took his word so seriously. Now, nobody thought, including the Ribbono Shel Olam, that he was going to sacrifice his daughter to God. Instead of going to the judges and trying to understand that there's a way to do Hataras Nadarim, he was too proud, he was too stubborn, and he killed his daughter, and therefore at the end of his life he suffers with this terrible punishment. The end of the parak is very brief and tells us very quickly about three other judges who ruled during this time. After him, Pasachas, we have Ivtson from Beis Lechem, Aleph Beis Tzadinun. After this, Ivtson from Beis Lechem ruled. Interestingly, I will quote the Radak again. Radak quotes the Gemara Maseches Bava Basra, Tzadi Aleph, Amru Chazal, Ivtson Zeboaz. So Chazal say, who is this judge Ivtson? This is Boaz. And at first it tells us that Boaz was a ruler. I'm not getting into the details. There's very brief details here about the progeny of Ivtson. Then we are told in Pasuk Aleph, after Ivtson, who ruled? Elon Hazvuloni, Elon from Zvulun ruled, that is Pasuk Yod Aleph, and he ruled for 10 years, he judged, I should say, for 10 years, and after Elon Hazvuloni, who died, and he was buried in Ayalon, in the land of Zvulun, Vayishbor Acharav Asisra Avdon Ben Hillel Hapir Asoni, that is in Pasuk Yod Gimah, after him, Avdon, the son of Hillel, the Pir Atoni judged Israel, and then Pasuk Tesvav, Vayamas Avda ben Hillel, Hapir Asoni, Vayikover Bepir Ason, Be'eretz Ephraim, Behar Maleki. And the parak ends by telling us that Avdon then died, and he was buried in Pir Ason, in the land of Ephraim, in the mountain of Amalek. So the parak ends by telling us briefly about the next three judges, Ivtson from Beis Lechem, Elon the Zvuloni, and Avda ben Hillel, Hapir Asoni, Pir Asoni, and with this, the parak ends. I'm not sure. I mean, I am sure. What's the lesson? I'm not sure because has machlokas and infighting between Klal Yisrael been forever? But perhaps we are the generation that can change that. Almost every soldier and every video we see, and everywhere when I was in Zocha to be in Eretz Yisrael recently, I told you for 9 days and a few hours of the 10th day, everywhere it says Yachad Yitzeich on the buses, on the highway signs, on the buildings, on the egg cartons, everything says Yachon Netzech. And every soldier who comes out of Gaza, Baruch Hashem, has the same message. When we were fighting shoulder to shoulder, as soldier and soldier, right and left, Chiloni and Dati. And the only way to be victorious is if perhaps we can rectify a long, long history of fighting between brothers. Maybe if we can reconcile the Ezra Hashem and have a Havas Chinam and a Havas Achim, we will truly be able to triumph over the enemy that seeks to destroy us. Thank you for studying together. Lilui Nishamot Imaoteno Yikarot Esther Oppenheimer La Hashem and Sarah Shankar La Hashem, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations. Kol Tov. Thank you to all, and I look forward to continuing our learning tomorrow.